Now I look ahead to Monday evening on Radio 4. And at 7:45, Kaleidoscope will be reviewing new films, including the British version of Fame, called Quite Well Respected in the Profession. And at 8:30, it's drama.
No! No! No!
What is it, darling?
Oh, I was having this terrible nightmare.
Tell me about it.
Well, I was in this field. It was dark, very dark. Suddenly I heard the drumming of hooves, and I turned round, and bearing down on me was a large, white unicorn.
No!
And I started to run. I tried to run, but I couldn't move. And the unicorn was gaining, and... Oh, God!
It's all right, darling. It's over.
Yes, but don't you see? The worst thing is, I've only just realized...
Yes?
I've spent my whole life running from unicorns. One way or another.
That's Running from Unicorns. A play by the distinguished playwright Eugene Sinclair about a distinguished playwright experiencing a mental block at 8:30. But now... It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Welcome. On tonight's show, we'll be asking why the BBC paid James Burke to fly around the world telling us things we already knew.
And we'll be discussing the latest Gallup poll survey, which asked people how many cabinet ministers could they name. Most people could only name four. Mrs. Thatcher could only name one.
But before we begin, we've had many complaints from listeners that one audience member is consistently scratching in a loud and distracting fashion.
So we'd like to track this problem down.
You, sir, if you could just sort of scratch yourself, okay, so we'll find out if it's you. Just scratch.
No.
No, it's not him. Are you mad at me if you could just scratch, okay? No, no. What about you, madam? Could you scratch? Yeah, I found her. Yeah. What a noise, yeah.
What are you doing? Sandpapering your legs or something?
What's your name?
Frieda.
Well, Frieda, look, if you could refrain from, you know, impersonating a washboard during the show. Only listeners have complained, I mean.
Yeah, we've also had complaints that someone's blowing their nose in a rather coarse, obtrusive fashion. If we could just sort that one out. You, madam, if you could just blow your nose after three. One, two, three.
That's the one.
Yeah, I thought it'd be her when I saw the nose, actually. Taking up four rows, yeah.
Yeah, no offence. Could we just move you a bit further back, away from the microphone?
Yeah. Stop, everybody. Oh dear,
there goes one of the lights.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think she can see where she's going.
No, actually. I don't. It's all right now. She's resting it on one of the commissionaires. Finally, we've had hundreds of complaints that somebody in our studio audience is perpetually laughing in the wrong... there he goes. You spot who it was?
It was up the back there somewhere.
Now, come on, who is it? It's very infuriating.
Come on, pack it in. The audience have enough trouble working out when they should laugh without you confusing them.
That's right. So now if everyone's on their best behaviour, we can begin. I'd now like to introduce something I'm very excited about. In my hand is something very important. It's a world exclusive. It's a tape recording of a phone call. It is frankly sensational. And I'm going to play it for you now.
Kremlin 1212. Gorbachev speaking.
This is Ronald Reagan. We bomb in 4 minutes.
Ronnie!
Scared you, did I, Mikey?
How are you?
Fine, fine. Incidentally, I'm appearing on TV tomorrow, and I hope you don't mind, only... I'm going to have to call you the focus of world evil again.
Sure, don't worry.
Okay, only I'd never get my alms budget through if they knew we were pals. What with you being Patsy's godfather and everything. Say, how are you doing with the Afghans?
We zapped 200 last week.
Nifty shooting.
And how's it going with the Sandinistas?
We invade next Tuesday.
Not in the morning. I'm at the dentist's.
You mean you've still got teeth? Wow.
Gremlin issue. I'll send you some. Hey, that reminds me. You looked great on this Johnny Carson show.
Oh, that wasn't me. That was a hologram. Yeah. Stands in for me while I'm sleeping.
Oh, I see.
Well, you know me. If I don't get my head down for at least 22 hours, I'm scratchy for the rest of the day. Okay, Nancy, yeah, I'm coming. Bye-byes, yeah.
Okay, Ronnie, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
And now, calls of the week.
You're listening to Ralph. Now, Ralph has sadly lost the power of speech due to that most damaging of mental disorders, owning a Walkman. Now, there are three theories why Ralph can't speak. One is that the noise from the Walkman damages the speech sector of the brain. Two is that the speech faculty simply atrophies through disuse. And three, that the sort of people who like listening to Walkman are too stupid to be able to talk anyway. I know, he's got to the end of the track. This is a dangerous moment. Oh, it's okay. He's got to Depeche Mode. Yeah. Now, tragically, Ralph's other physical functions are also affected. He's blind. There's nothing wrong with his eyes. It's just that the images aren't reaching his brain because they can't find it.
Ralph is one of the many tragic people who have had their brains destroyed by machines. People like Tricia. Tricia's friends all have answering machines, and I'm afraid this has completely wrecked her speech patterns. I'll lead you straight. Hello, Tricia.
Oh, hi. Great. Well, look, I'll get back to you another, Well, maybe you could... Well, I'm in tomorrow.
Please, help us to help Ralph and Tricia by sending your donations, however small, to Nick Revel and Andy Hamilton, care of the BBC Broadcasting House, London, W1A1AA.
We'll forward the money to where it will do the most good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
About four of the week. Well, now it's time... Please, come on! Spoiling it for everybody else. Well, now, it's time to move on.
I had a terrible row with my girlfriend this week, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Nick, but...
Over the usual thing, you know.
What? Sex?
No, Trivial Pursuit.
What?
You know, that stupid general knowledge game.
Oh, right, so what started it then?
Well, she threw a five and I read out the question, which was, how many times a year does a penguin have sex? And she said 100, but the correct answer was once. So then she said, I only like playing the game because it made her look stupid. And I said, it doesn't take a game to make you look stupid. And she flushed all the little plastic counters down the toilet and just stormed out of the house. And I just can't get in touch with her. I mean, I'm really worried. I just don't know what I should do. What do you reckon I should do?
Do penguins really only have sex once a year?
Apparently. See,
God, I bet that makes them tense.
Well, I don't know, but...
I mean, imagine it, Nick. I mean, just once a year. I mean, I know it doesn't seem to bother Cliff Richard, but I mean... Once a year, I mean, think of the pressure. I mean, if it's not exactly sublime, the female penguin can hardly say, don't worry, darling, it's not important, can she? I mean, if it's once a year, it's bloody important, isn't it?
Andy?
Sorry. I'm sorry, mate. I got sidetracked. You were saying.
Thank you. Anyhow, I tried ringing her mum.
I bet a lot of them turn gay, you know.
Andy?
Sorry.
Anyhow, I was really fed up, you know. I went out for a walk, and I'm coming up the road, and there's the Salvation Army coming towards me.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war.
Could you spare a few coppers for the needy?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I know I said a few coppers, but there's no need to be quite so literal, is there?
All right. Sorry.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. If we're not a bit more generous than that, then we might be knocking on those pearly gates a little sooner than we thought, mightn't we? Joshua, turn him over.
Put me down, the blood's rushing to my head.
64p, 3 pesetas and a Pussycat Willem fan club badge. That's not enough, punk.
It's all I've got.
And then she cracked me over the head with a lead-lined tambourine.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, my head was all cut and bleeding, but I managed to stagger into me local, and that's where me luck ran out.
What happened?
Norman, the friendly barman.
Hello, stranger. Long time no see. Oh, dear, look at your face, eh? Two lovely black eyes.
Norman, for God's sake, call me an ambulance.
You're an ambulance. Hold up, Nick. Customers, hang on. Hello, stranger. Long time no see. Been in prison, have we? Well, how's I to know? Did you see that, Nick? Oh, no, you can't. Your eyes have closed up. I was only trying to be friendly, wasn't I? Talk about touchy, ain't it?
Norman.
Here's a good one, Nick. There's this Paddy, right? This really thick Mick. So thick he has to be lowered into his wellies. Anyway, this really stupid Paddy. Evening, Mr. O'Reilly.
Anyhow, it was all right, you know, because luckily Mr. O'Reilly had a, you know...
Sense of humour?
No, a starting handle.
Oh, right.
Stroke of luck, I got to go to the hospital in the same ambulance as Norman.
Handy. Yeah.
But they wouldn't see me because I only had concussion, and under the new government guidelines, that's classified as psychosomatic.
All right. Yeah.
So next morning, I got in to see my GP.
You got to see your GP? Mm. Well, how did you manage that?
Well, I tunnelled past his receptionist.
Oh, nice. So what's your GP like?
Well, he's sort of like...
Come in, sit down, shut up. What's your name?
Revel, I've got this...
Private patient?
No, I've got this...
It's a virus. Good day.
But you haven't even examined me.
It's a virus.
Well, I demand a second opinion.
All right, then it's an allergy. Take the Valium, don't come back.
But my head hurts. I've got this pain.
Look, let me explain. That's merely a physical signal. Pain is just your body's way of telling you you're an NHS patient. Please come in. Sit down. Shut up.
What? I mean, at least your GP takes the trouble to explain things. Mine's useless. Well, in fact, he's been struck off.
What for?
Unethical conduct. Apparently, he was removing patients' organs without their permission.
What? For medical experiments?
No, Jewess. incidentally, listeners, this radio programme is now available on video. Actually, it transfers very well to video, because Nick's very, he's visual. Especially his nose. He's got a very striking appearance, sort of ruggedly individual. Anyway, you can see Nick on the video, if you're over 18, and he pulls a lot of funny faces in a generally oafish manner that seems to be very fashionable at the moment.
Actually, you can also see Andy on the video, just. If you look very hard, you can just about make out his bald patch creeping into the bottom of the picture. And I don't want to embarrass my partner unduly, but I think his cute, puckish, diminutive style of comedy comes across very well on the video, especially in the sketch where he plays a microchip. Now, of course, some performers would struggle to portray an inanimate object, but Andy's understated, muted, uncannily static style of performance stands him in very good stead.
Cheers, Nick.
My pleasure, Andy.
In the second half of the show, Edwina Curry MP on what to do if your head gets jammed inside a cathedral. But now it's time for my probing feature.
Andy Hamilton, out and about.
This week I'm in prison, I'm actually sitting in the recreation room of Wormshurst Prison having a cup of tea with Penny, who's a prison visitor. Penny, this is an all-male prison. Do you ever find that a problem?
In what way?
Well, you know, there must be a lot of pent up. I mean, the prisoners must get a bit difficult sexually, you know, a bit frisky.
Oh, no, the stuff that's put in the tea stops that. It completely inhibits any sex drive.
And how long does the effect last?
Well, it's hard to say.
But it does wear off.
Oh, so they tell me, though. I've never seen it myself. Personally, I stick to the coffee.
We're walking along F block now, Penny. What sort of people end up in these cells?
Well, basically, people like Simon. This is Simon, one of our longest-serving prisoners.
Hello, Simon.
Yes, it is.
Well, Simon, how long have you been in prison?
I was arrested on May the 14th, Cup Final Day.
Cup Final Day?
Accrington Stanley versus Royal Engineers.
And what were you convicted of?
I wasn't convicted. I'm on remand.
This is a shocking state of affairs, Penny.
A sad case, yes.
How long has he been here?
72 years.
My lawyer's ringing me back. I don't care who knows. I'm getting a bit fed up.
We'd better move on. If he gets worked up, he starts throwing his teeth around.
House kitchen attendant.
Now, in this cell, we have one of our real success stories. Albert Fenn. Albert has become one of the world's leading naturalists just by painstaking scientific study of the creatures that, you know, find their way into his cell.
Sorry, I was just milking the zebra.
This is absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? How did you end up with all these creatures in your cell?
Oh, I don't know, really. It all started when I left a piece of bread on the windowsill. Next morning I woke up and Bob's your uncle. Sorry about the smell. That's the hippo. He's very easily frightened. Yes.
Are all these animals happy in such a small cell?
Oh, well, I think the giraffe finds it a bit of a pain in the neck, but...
Do you get many visitors?
Oh, yes. Penny here. Mm-hmm. David Attenborough.
Lord Longford.
Oh, no, you panicked them. What did you mention him for? Shut the door, quick.
Sorry about that. I wasn't thinking.
Quite all right.
Penny, what exactly does being a prison visitor involve?
Well, the prisoners have many problems, and I try to deal with all their questions.
What sort of questions crop up?
Oh, all sorts, you know. Can you help me get on an open university course? Is the wife okay? Are the kids doing all right at school? How many drivers are there on the laundry van? Could you get us a voting horse? I need a Brazilian visa. Could you arrange one? And I do my best to oblige.
Right. Tell me, Penny, are overcrowded cells a problem here in Wormshurst?
Well, less and less, I find.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Now, in this cell is a prisoner who's in for murder.
Murder?
Well, 400 murders.
Huh. Well, let's go inside and meet him then, shall we, Penny? Hi. I understand you've killed 400 people.
Incorrect.
Oh, good.
I have killed 400 infidels.
Oh.
I have a sacred mission to purge this world of the Christian devils. Death is too good for what the Christians have done.
What have the Christians done?
They invented Christmas. There's a gift for the carol singers who start ringing your doorbell in mid-September. The millions of TV Christmas specials, every one of them starring Chaz and Dave. The perpetual reruns of the Poseidon Adventure. Those bloody endless Woolworths ads. And that fellow going on about turkeys. Beautiful, beautiful. The visits from appalling relatives. The inevitable ritual of the office Christmas party. Screwing some girl from the typing pool in the stationery cupboard. The embarrassment of discovering she doesn't remember it. The mind-boggling boredom of staying at home, wading your way through mountains of satsumas and dates. The tedium, the dyspepsia, the crippling flatulence!
So you don't like Christmas, then? But surely Muslim teaching says that...
I am not a Muslim! I hate the Muslims! I hate the way they wail like muted cats from those minarets! Why don't they ever know the words? I hate the way everything stops for Ramadan. I hate their stinking halal meat. You try getting a good bacon sandwich in Tehran. I hate the way they ride 12 to a taxi. The way their women trundle around like little black letterboxes. I hate Muslims and Buddhists. They're so serene! Along with all the old people, and the young people, and the middle-aged people, and pets, and trees.
Is there anything you don't hate?
Jimmy Greaves.
What?
Greaves is okay with me. The finest finisher the game has ever seen.
So would you enjoy his banter with Ian St. John?
I hate Ian St. John! And he's a liar.
What?
He's not a saint. I looked him up in the book. Can I tell you something else I hate? After the football club.
So there it is. Prison. A dehumanizing dungeon or a demonstrable deterrent. This has been Andy Hamilton, Out and About.
And now, a terrific bonus for all you science fiction fans.
They've taken it off telly.
But get ready for another thrilling episode of the radio adventures of Doctor Who.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. The Daleks are invincible. Coming. Hello, darling. I was just washing up. Hello, darling. Had a nice day. Not bad. The rent man called. He said we were in arrears. Oh. So I exterminated him. Fair enough. Did you exterminate lots of things today? Well, actually, no. I've discovered something that's completely changed my outlook. It's called ecology. What? Ecology means an awareness of the environment and a respect for other life forms. Cobblers. Other life forms are for exterminating. And what's that you're wearing? It's a Save the Earthling badge. Mother was right about you. You are wet. I am not wet, you are. You're the only Dalek I know who keeps a hamster. Cedric out of this. Oh no, it's that bloody doctor again. Which doctor is it?
God knows. You no sooner get used to one and they go and change it for a different one.
Why, look, Sarah Jane, it's my old friends, the Daleks.
Oh, Doctor, help, help!
This is Sarah Jane.
Doctor, why are your young female assistants always so noisy?
I don't know, really.
Exterminator, she's giving me a headache.
No, I told you, exterminating is counterproductive. We should protect other life forms. On second thought, perhaps I'll just exterminate her.
Run, Sarah Jane.
She is getting away.
Don't worry, she will trip in a very unconvincing manner. They always do.
You knew I tripped.
Told you. Fire. 180.
Nice shot. Right, it's my old friends, the Ice Warriors.
We meet at last.
Let go of my throat, old man.
We have pursued you across many galaxies, through many time vortexes and wobbly gods. And now we have caught you. You will confess. You will tell us.
Tell you what?
What have you done with our plasma pill?
Stop! You're hurting him.
Stay out of this, you motorized dustbin.
You cannot provoke me. I have studied the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi.
I've broken free. Quick, into the TARDIS.
Wait for us. I don't like those ice warriors. They're rough.
Wimp. Where have we materialized?
I think it's Earth, around 2468 BC.
It looks like the usual disused quarry just on the M1 for me.
Look! Coming towards us, a slouched Neanderthal humanoid covered in coarse matted hair, wielding a crudely fashioned club.
You see?
This is how man began.
See?
He's trying to speak.
See? You see?
Chill! Stay! Chill!
Everyone back to the
TARDIS! Where are we now? It's the same disused quarry, just not the other one.
Nonsense! This is the planet Dolmarion, where the Cybermen live.
Cybermen? Are they the ones with the saucepans on their heads?
No, you're thinking of the Multrons in Cygnus 4.
No, no, the Multrons, they've got sort of pressure cookers on their heads. No, it's more like a teapot with a funny squeak.
No, look, who's the doctor, Andrew, me or you? Aha! Look where we've landed.
Slough.
Rubbish, it's not Slough.
It is. My sister lives here. She's a traffic warden.
This is the planet Kremnos. And look what's coming towards us. My God, it's huge. It's horrible. It's 987 feet high. It's filled the whole of the sky. It's got 16 rapacious mouths full of saber-like teeth. It's got thousands of enormous stinging tentacles. My God, what is it?
It's a special effect too expensive for television.
Shut up. It's coming towards us, and it's going to...
Here comes the ending. It's always the same.
Oh, my God, it's going to...
Cue music. Well, there's a turn-up.
Oh, shut up.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Next week, we'll be asking the Emmanuels how they get away with it.
And we'll also be asking, how come J.R. Ewing never contracts any sexually transmitted diseases?
Till then, good night.
Thank you.
The Million Pound Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Penelope Nice and Jasper Jacobs. It was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.